to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is One Night Ultimate Vampire. And I have the mastermind behind the game himself. I have Ted with me today. How's it going,
Ted? It's going great, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and about your company?
Sure. So I'm a game designer. I've been designing games now professionally for the last 10 years and full-time for the last 2.5 years. I've designed games like Ultimate Werewolf and, of course, One Night Ultimate Werewolf, Suburbia, Castles of Magic and Ludwig. Those are probably the ones that more people know me from than others. And I live out in Silicon Valley in California. I used to work in the high-tech area. I was in product management for companies like Adobe and Intuit.
Hey, cool. That's pretty cool. Fancy. But, board games are way better, though.
Definitely.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
This right now is my dream job. This is awesome.
Well, it is awesome. And all your other games have been very, very successful games as well. I mean, people can easily find them at your local retail stores as well, and Barnes & Noble and stuff like that. So
Yeah, sure.
I go to Barnes & Noble at least once a month, and I always see, you know, Ultimate Werewolf there. So
that's good to hear.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about your Kickstarter, One Night Ultimate Vampire. For those that may not be as familiar with your other games, and why don't you tell people what it is, the kind of feel they're going to get from it, and just the overall about the game.
Sure. So One Night Ultimate Vampire, it's a prequel to what is now our best-selling game, which is One Night Ultimate Werewolf. And in One Night Ultimate Vampire, everyone gets a roll card. You're either, basically, you're on the vampire team as a vampire, or you're on the village team trying to figure out who the vampires are. Each roll card is unique, so no one has a duplicate of rolls, and every roll card gives the player some special ability. Either they get to do something during the game, or they have a special ability that takes effect at some point. Once everyone's seen their roll cards, they put them face down in front of them on the table, and there's also 3 additional roll cards that no one has seen that are face down the table. Although everyone knows the pool of cards that are in the game, and there's a lot more cards than you can play with, so each game will be different if you take cards in and out. Once you've done that, we have a very cool free app for iOS and Android that you play. It's on tablets or phones, and it kind of does this nighttime narration where it tells everyone to close their eyes, and then it wakes everyone up based on your role. So, for instance, it'll say, vampires, open your eyes, look around for the other vampires. And when the vampires do that, it says, vampires turn someone else into a vampire. And we have this little mechanic inside One Night Ultimate Vampire called marks, which are these little tokens that everyone starts with. They start with one of a mark of clarity, which just means that their role card hasn't changed and they are what they thought they were when they first looked at their card. But the vampires can change that to a mark of the vampire, which means that the player they choose is now on the vampire team. And so they've added someone else to help them out. Now that player that happens to still gets to do their regular whatever action they have that's on their card, but now they're working for the vampires, basically, and they want the vampires to win.
Gotcha.
A lot of the other cards deal with these marks. There's an assassin that puts a mark of the assassin on someone, and then it's his job to try to get everyone to kill that one person. There's a mark of fear that prevents people from waking up and doing their night action when they're called. All sorts of things like that. Halfway through the night, everyone opens their eyes and checks their marks to see if it's been changed, if it's a mark of clarity or if it's something else. Then they close their eyes, then a few more rolls are called, and they get to do things like switch cards or look at people's marks or all sorts of things. And then everyone opens their eyes, and you have about 5 minutes to discuss amongst yourselves as a group who you think the vampires are. And one of the key things here is that at that point, no one can look at their marks or their cards. So you're hoping that no one has switched out your card and you're still on the team you started with. And you've got to kind of figure that out by talking with other people to see if anyone has changed things or modified things. And in addition to figuring that out, you, of course, want to figure out who the vampires are so that you can kill them. At the end of the 5 minutes, everyone basically points at one other person at the same time. And whoever has the most fingers pointed at them is killed. We flip over their card and their mark. If it's a vampire or they're on the vampire team, the village wins.
Yeah.
The vampires win.
Well, I mean, It's super fun, just the concept and everything, and people may have played similar games or you know, but I just love it. It's just lots of fun, and I have to commend you guys for producing such great quality games.
Well, thank you very much.
So, as of today, when we're recording this, you guys still have, you know, 19 days left to go on your Kickstarter, and I mean, it's simple enough to say that you are very well successfully funded at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, it's we treat Kickstarters a little differently than other companies, you know, because our company, Bezier Games, has been around a while. You know, we feel in general that we're not going to do a Kickstarter to see if a game is going to be successful in the market, because for us, you know, we're going to do the market research. We're going to do play testing, determine that before we decide to go forward with artwork and further development of a game. Instead, what we like to use Kickstarter for are special event type projects. And the One Night series kind of for us has been that, where what we can do is kind of make some really special things to give back to the Kickstarter community. And anyone who's involved with the campaign and follows along with the comments and the updates, you know, we reveal all sorts of fun things throughout the campaign. We have lots of fun stretch goals that people are trying to open up. We try and do some things that are somewhat exclusive to Kickstarter, or at least they're free to Kickstarter folks, and that other people would have to pay extra for otherwise. And, you know, it makes it a kind of a really rich experience, I think, for a lot of the people who are involved with it.
Definitely. It's cool. And Kickstarter is such a great avenue to be able to get the community involved as much as possible with the development of the game itself. And that's a really great quality that Kickstarter has for sure.
Yes, definitely.
So as being a more of a veteran of Kickstarter and board games and everything, some of the listeners of the show are aspiring developers and people that may want to start their own Kickstarter. Is there any good tips that you could give to someone that is planning on launching a Kickstarter for their board game?
I think the most important thing, the one thing I've learned, I think this is my seventh or eighth campaign, or ninth maybe, I don't know, a lot of campaigns. The most important thing, then you probably hear this from a lot of people you talk to, is understand what your costs are before you set up your campaign. Understand your costs inside and out, your shipping costs, your production costs. You know, there's the hidden shipping to you cost, especially if you're getting things done overseas, that, you know, the manufacturing company will give you a quote and say, you know, if it's in Germany or China or wherever, they'll say, hey, it's going to cost you, $6 to build this game. And you're like, oh, that's great. I can make some money off this. And then you realize, well, it's going to cost you, you know, $15,000 to ship them over, and just add four more dollars to each copy of the game. So little things like that, and that's not really a little thing, but and when you're planning out stuff, you're like, oh, shipping won't be that much. I'm not going to worry about it. You want to get all that stuff lined up and figure out what all those costs are ahead of time before you know, put your campaign together and start structuring the rewards to make sure that you are definitely going to come out ahead and not certainly you don't want to aim to break even, because that'll never happen, because there's always hidden things that will happen. You want to come out ahead a little bit, and you want to make sure that you never, ever come out behind, because it's funny, a lot of Kickstarter promo companies will contact Kickstarter makers when they first start, and they'll like, hey, you know what, you give us X amount of dollars and we'll get you, more backers, or we'll give you backers as based on a percentage, you know, and so we'll take X percent of whatever you get, but we'll get a lot of backers. And it's very, very tempting. But, again, when you look down at the numbers, you could end up losing money just to get these people to back your product. And, you know, yeah, there's something to be said about building a business, but at the same time, unless you have a very solid plan for getting your game into distribution afterwards and you think it's really going to happen, that's probably not the best course to proceed on.
Definitely. So with the manufacturers, I know that there's a lot of big manufacturers that are outside the United States that a lot of people go through. I know that there's a lot more that people are trying to do within the states themselves to save on shipping. Do you see any trend coming that way where there's going to be more manufacturers in the United States to produce all these board games that people are wanting to make?
To some extent. I mean, the problem we have in the U.S., we've got two issues. The big printing companies that can do the quality work don't want to do small print runs. And for a Kickstarter, you know, I mean, even right now, this Kickstarter is wildly crazy successful, and I don't even have 3,000 backers yet. You know, hopefully we'll have more than that by the time it's over, but still 3,000 is a very, very low number. A U.S. manufacturer is going to look at that and go, no, we just don't, you know, we'd have to charge you so much extra for this that it wouldn't be worth your while. And they're right, because they're used to doing high volume things. The ones that will do low volume, unfortunately, the quality, at least from the samples and from some of the games that I've backed, I backed a lot of games on Kickstarter, that it's just not quite the same as what you'll get in Germany or China. Several years ago, the quality you got from China was not very good, but that has actually changed around quite a bit. And there's only one manufacturer in Germany, Litopact, that consistently has, you know, as high or higher quality than what you find in China. A lot of the manufacturers in China are actually doing better than some of the ones you'll find in Europe at this point, which is kind of weird, but that's, you know, that's how the market works, I guess.
No, that's really interesting. It's interesting. I mean, it's a really good point, especially for people that are looking to get their games developed, that U.S. manufacturers are wanting to produce larger quantities of the games to get them to the largest mass amount of numbers as possible. So that's very interesting, and that the smaller companies, maybe they're starting off and trying to get their feet in the industry, and maybe they need to up their quality a little bit more. So that's good advice.
Very subjective. You know, one of the largest and most successful U.S. manufacturers is AtMagic. They do Cards Against Humanity and a bunch of other games. And their quality is certainly acceptable. It's fine. But when you compare it side by side with something you'll get out of the higher end shops out of China or Germany, you can definitely tell the difference.
You can see the difference.
And so,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things like, is it worth it to go that route? And so far, you know, what we found, and I don't know if this is just being a snobbish, but we want our games to be as good as possible. And if it does cost us a little extra, and there's of course the time it takes to ship things, suck that up if, you know, we're assured that the product is going to be as high quality as possible.
Definitely. Well, at least they're not having the strikes over there on the, you know, to get those boats in now.
Yeah, that was a mess. Yeah, that was
a mess. That held everybody back.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. Ted, I mean, all this is fascinating and great, and I really appreciate your time. I understand, especially with the high quality of success that you're having with your Kickstarter right now, that you are a busy man. So I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come on the show today.
Not at all. My pleasure. It's always fun to talk about games.
Of course. So why don't you tell people maybe where they can find out a little bit more about your company and more about One Night Ultimate Vampire.
Sure. So Bezier Games, of course, we have a website. It's beziergames.com, B-E-Z-I-E-R, games.com. And, you know, we have all our products on there. We have links to our Kickstarter on there as well. And, of course, if you just search, I probably just search for Vampire right now on Kickstarter, and that's the only one that'll come up. The good folks at Kickstarter actually, for the first time after 8 campaigns, gave me a staff pick, so I was pretty excited about that.
Hey, nice.
You never know quite what their criteria is for that. But I do know that it is very beneficial in that, you know, you get a lot of
get a lot of exposure that way.
Yeah, it you show up earlier in the searches and things like that. So, you know, I don't know how to make it happen. I don't think I did anything very different in this campaign than I did in my previous campaign, but hey, I'm not going to question it. I'm thrilled that they've done that, and it just lets more people see the campaign and lets them decide if it's something they want to back.
Definitely. Well, I think it's definitely something everyone should go back, and all the listeners should go do that right now. And Ted, thanks again once for being on the show.
Thanks a lot, Barry.
Yeah, good luck with everything in the future, and I look forward to seeing your future projects and being able to get my hands on those ones as well.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks to Dan Patrice. Dan, the board game man. You can find him at thegeekallstars.com. He did our intro and outro, and we thank him for that. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.